Good morning, June 26th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. A few themes stand out today, including jail-based withdrawal response, new attention on kratom policy, and a federal grant deadline coming up on July 8th. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with news coverage, Stat News reports from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that jails are on the front line in dealing with a dangerous new type of drug withdrawal. In Connecticut, CT Mirror says a State Department of Correction report is shedding light on an overdose death and raising questions. The report centers on the deaths of Tyler Cole and Ronald Johnson and methadone overdose. On Long Island, New York, The New York Post reports that a county is considering bans on kratom, described there as gas station heroin, but with an exemption. That is one to watch closely if you follow local retail restrictions and carve-outs. At the federal level, Filter reports that the DEA plans an emergency ban on ODSMT, described as an active compound in tramadol. And in New Mexico, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that the DEA has asked a watchdog to investigate claims that agents permitted fentanyl to hit the streets. Over in the social pulse, one lived experience post from Kaiba755 on X describes a progression that began with codeine as a teenager, then morphine and OxyContin, and later heroin, which the poster says they smoked for around 6 years. Posts like that can be a stark reminder of how early prescription exposure and later street use can connect in a single timeline. There were also a couple of innovation-focused signals. Mehdi Dousti on X highlighted machine learning-powered nanoelectronic opioid screening, describing it as promising work that could support faster, portable detection of dangerous drugs like fentanyl and help speed field decisions. A separate post from Core REMS says the FDA has cleared Masimo wearable monitoring technology to detect opioid-related breathing risk in hospital workflows. The post says continuous AI-assisted monitoring may help identify early respiratory compromise and support safer care. A different kind of social item came from opposition messaging. A post from Young Mula Baby Lal on X criticized housing first approaches in Seattle and Washington State, argued they reduce housing supply, and said anything without mandatory measures should go. That is best understood as a direct example of pushback against housing first and harm reduction adjacent approaches. Looking locally, San Diego County News Center says the county moved forward on funding for supportive housing in Chula Vista on June 25th. In Research, a qualitative study in Harm Reduction Journal examined how super savers in Skåne County, South Sweden, view overdose engagement. The study foregrounds participants' perspective that they were being involved even though they do not think about the law in the same way researchers or officials do. Another study, published in Health and Justice, reported results from a peer recovery coach-delivered future orientation intervention for returning citizens in substance use treatment. It focused on feasibility and preliminary outcomes. And a third paper in Harm Reduction Journal looked at opioid use disorder treatment providers' views on the quality and appropriateness of telehealth for buprenorphine access. The central point in the title is blunt. Some providers see telehealth as preferable to patients not getting care at all. On the policy front, West Virginia has a new law relating to the registration and enforcement of kratom products. Also in West Virginia, another newly enacted law repeals the Addiction Treatment Pilot Program. For funding, there are three current opportunities to note. The Health Resources and Services Administration has the Rural Communities Opioid Response Program, or R-Corp Impact Opportunity, with a deadline of July 8, 2026. HRSA also has the R-Corp Planning Opportunity, also due on July 8, 2026. With both deadlines landing soon, this is a good time to check eligibility and submission readiness. And the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration is offering Preventing Youth Overdose, Treatment, Recovery, Education, Awareness, and Training, with a deadline of July 16, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. Finally, in activism, the National Harm Reduction Coalition is urging people to contact Congress to reject HIV funding cuts in the federal budget. And the National Alliance to End Homelessness is asking people to use a call and email script to urge Congress on homelessness funding. If that last item is relevant to your work, having the script ready may make outreach easier today. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.